Shalom and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast that goes through the whole Bible in a year. We follow along with the weekly Torah portions and read daily from the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the apostles. If you want to learn more about the podcast or connect with us online, find us at dailybreadmoms.com. There you'll find information about the journal. That's the Bible reading plan that we use, which Bible translation we use, and how to contact us. You'll also see information about how you can support the podcast by becoming a patron and how we can connect with you more. We've got some new things for our sweet patrons and are excited to let you hear from us in more ways beyond the daily Bible readings. So find us at dailybreadmoms.com. We look forward to connecting with you. Let's get to our podcast episode for today.
Good morning. This is Karen and I'm your reader today. Today is Thursday, April 18th. And it is also the 10th of Nisan on the Hebrew calendar. Today in history, we have two events that happened that complement each other, both historically and prophetically. Today, Messiah rides into Yerushalayim and visits the temple and then returns to Betania from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 9. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." But also today, the Pesach lamb is chosen. And this comes from Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's households, a lamb for each household." Our parasha this week is Metzorah, which means leper. And today we're reading from the Torah portion, the section of Leviticus or Vayikra, chapter 14, verses 54 through chapter 15, verse 15. But before we begin now, let's take this time together and bless God and thank him for his word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. This is the Torah for any mark of zara'at, even for a scab, or the zara'at in a garment, or for a house, or for a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the Torah of zara'at. The Lord spoke to Moshe and to Aaron, saying, "Speak to Bnei Israel and tell them, when any man has a fluid discharge from his body, because of his discharge, he is unclean. This is to be his uncleanness in his discharge, whether his body flows with his discharge or his body obstructs his discharge. It is his uncleanness. Every bed on which he who has the discharge lies will become unclean, and everything he sits on will be unclean. Whoever touches his bed is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. Whoever sits on anything on which the man who has the discharge sat is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Whoever touches the body of one who has the discharge is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. Or if the one who has the discharge spits on someone who is clean, then he also is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. Any saddle the one who has discharge rides on will be unclean. Whoever touches anything that was under him will be unclean until the evening. Whoever carries them is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. Also anyone the person with the discharge touches, without rinsing his hands in water, should wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. A clay pot that one with the discharge touches should be broken, and every wooden vessel should be rinsed in water. When the one who has a fluid discharge is cleansed of his issue, then he is to count for himself 7 days for his purification and wash his clothes. Then he is to bathe his body in the running water, and he will be clean. On the 8th day, he is to take 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and come before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting and give them to the Kohen. The Kohen is to offer them one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. So the Kohen should make atonement for him before the Lord for his fluid discharge. That was Vayikra chapter 14, verses 54 through chapter 15, verse 15. And now for our reading in the Nevi'im, or the prophets. We are reading in Yeshayahu, or Isaiah, chapters 38 and 39. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. So Yeshayahu the prophet, son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, put your house in order, for you are dying, and will not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. He said, "Please, Lord, remember how I have walked before you in truth, with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then it came to pass, the word of the Lord came to Yeshayahu, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. Now this will be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this word he has spoken. Behold, I will cause the shadow on the stairs, which went down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, to turn back 10 steps. So the sun's shadow went back 10 steps on the sundial on which it had gone down. A writing of King Hezekiah of Yehuda after his illness, when he recovered from his illness. I said, in the prime of my life, I am to enter the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the rest of my years. I said, I will not see the Lord in the land of the living. I will look on humanity no longer among the inhabitants of the world. Like a shepherd's tent, my dwelling is pulled up and carried away from me. Like a weaver, I rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make my end. I stilled my soul till morning. Like a lion, he will break all my bones. From day till night, you make my end. Like a swallow or a crane, I whisper. I moan like a dove. My eyes are weary looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my security. What should I say? For he has spoken to me. He himself has done it. I will wonder about all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by such things men live, and my spirit has life in them too. Restore me to health and let me live. Behold, it was for my own shalom that I had great bitterness. You have loved my soul out of the pit of destruction, for you have flung all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you, Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you, as I do today. A father makes your faithfulness known to his children. The Lord will save me, so we will play my songs on string instruments all of the days of our lives in the house of the Lord. Now Yeshayahu had said, "Let them take a cake of figs and apply it to the boil, and he will live." Hezekiah had said, "What is the sign that I will go up to the house of the Lord?" At that time, Merodach-Baladan, son of King Baladan of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and had recovered. Now Hezekiah was pleased with him, so he showed them his treasure house, the silver and the gold, the spices and the precious oil, and his whole armory, and everything that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in its house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Yeshayahu the prophet came to King Hezekiah and asked him, "What did these men say, and from where did they come to you?" Hezekiah replied, "They have come to me from far They have come to me from a far country, from Babylon." Then he asked, "What have they seen in your house?" Hezekiah said, "They have seen everything in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them." Then Yeshayahu said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord Tzevaot. Behold, days are coming when everything in your house, which your fathers have stored up to this day, will be carried to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. Moreover, some of your descendant, who will issue from you, whom you will father, will be taken away and become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Yeshayahu, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he thought, "For there will be shalom and security in my days." That was Yeshayahu, or Isaiah, chapters 38 and 39. Now for our reading in the writings, we will be reading Proverbs, or Mishle, chapter 19. Better to be poor, walking with integrity, than to be a fool whose lips are corrupt. Zeal without knowledge is no good, or to act hastily and miss the way. A man's folly undermines his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth adds many friends, yet a poor man is deserted by his friends. A false witness will not go unpunished. One who breathes lies will not escape. Many seek the favor of the generous. Everyone is a friend to a giver of gifts. All a poor man's relatives despise him. How much more his friends avoid him. He pursues them with words, but they are not there. One who gets wisdom loves his own soul. One who treasures understanding prospers. A false witness will not go unpunished, and one who breathes lies will perish. Luxury is not fitting for a fool. How much less for a servant to rule over princes? Prudence makes one slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook an offense. A king's wrath is like a roaring lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish son is troubled for his father, and a quarrelsome wife is consistent dripping. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Laziness brings on deep sleep, and an idle soul will starve. One who keeps a mitzvah guards his heart, but one who neglects his ways will die. One who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will reward him for his good deed. Discipline your son while there is hope. Do not set your heart on his death. One with great rage will pay a penalty. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Listen to advice and accept instruction, so that in the end you may be wise. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. What is desire in a man is loyalty, and a poor person is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it rests satisfied, untouched by harm. The slacker buries his hand in a bowl and will not even bring it back to his mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the naive will learn caution. Rebuke a disconcerting person, and he will gain knowledge. He who robs his father and drives away his mother is a son who brings shame and disgrace. My son, if you stop heeding instruction, you will stray from the words of knowledge. A crooked witness scorns justice, and a wicked mouth devours iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and flogging for the backs of fools. That was Proverbs, or Mishlei, chapter 19. And now to our final portion today from the apostolic writings. We are in 1 Peter, chapter 3. Likewise, wives, be submit to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the message, by the wise conduct, without a word, they may be won over, as they observe your pure, reverent conduct. Don't let your beauty be external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothing. Instead, let it be in a hidden person of the heart, with the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is the way the holy women, who put their hope in God, used to be beautiful themselves long ago, being submitted to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You have become her daughters by doing what is good and not fearing intimidation. In the same way, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, though they are weaker partners. Honor them as equal heirs of grace of life. In this way, your prayers will not be hindered. Finally, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, tender-hearted, humble-minded. Do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but give a blessing instead. It is for this reason you were called, so that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who loves life, wanting to see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek shalom and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not be afraid or worry about their threats. Instead, sanctify Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet with humility and reverence, keep a clear conscience, so that whatever you are accused of, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Messiah may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if it is God's will, than for doing evil. For Messiah once suffered for sins also, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Ruach. Through the Ruach he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. Long ago they disobeyed while God kept waiting patiently. In the days of Noah, as the ark was built, in that ark a few, that is, eight souls, were brought safely through water. Corresponding to that immersion now brings you to safety. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but a pledge to God of a good conscience through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. He has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels and authorities and powers subjected to him. That was 1 Peter chapter 3. If you're going through the apostolic writings twice this year cycle, you'll also read Matthew chapter 7 today.
That concludes our readings today, and I hope it has truly blessed you. And as we come closer to the start of Pesach, may your cleaning be fruitful and it be a joyous time and not a stress time as we enter in to this amazing season of being free from captivity, both physically as the nation of Israel was, but even more so spiritually, which Yeshua gives us through his death and resurrection. Until next time, busy moms, this is Karen wishing you shalom from the Golan Heights.